Howdy folks, this is Shane. Welcome to the In the Blues Tone podcast. It's the 11th of July 2017. Lots of great gear news coming up on this particular podcast, and also some other stuff which I want to talk about some changes to the channel and things that I'm going to be doing. Also, someone new is going to be on the channel as well, so definitely check that out. If you're wondering if you can download the podcast just audio only, you absolutely can. You can go to iTunes and type in the Blues Tone Podcast, or go to intheblues.podcast.com. Nice and simple. Fender have just re-released an amplifier that I'd never thought I'd see again. And maybe I was just being ignorant or whatever, but basically, they've re-released the Supersonic range. And you might be thinking, hang on a second, the Supersonic range is still out there. Actually, they're not. They discontinued the 60 and the 100, and they've just come back. The funniest thing is, they changed designs on the second series of those amps. So the first generation Supersonic 60 and the second generation Supersonic 60 were quite different. The EQ stack was different, and visually they also looked different to each other. The funny part about this reissue amplifier is they essentially released it looking like the first series of the amps with the kind of weird logo, and then they also added that new EQ stack. They actually sound great. I had a chance to play a Supersonic 60 and it was awesome. I'm still not a huge fan of those vintage 30 speakers, but pull that out, put another one in, and it's great. I get asked all the time, why did I sell that amp? It was heavy. At that time, I think it was the amp that did my back. So I thought, you know what? It was time to downsize. It's a killer amp for a number of reasons. The clean channel is great on the basement setting. I find the Vibrolux setting on there a little bit lackluster, but only on that particular amplifier. The drive channel is where that amp is absolutely at. You can get a great sound out of it, no problems at all. It takes pedals well, it's super loud. Like I said, the vintage 30s aren't for everybody. Some folks love them and some people don't. If it was me doing it again, I'd put a Texas Heat in there and I'd be absolutely done. Fender have also gone ahead and released the Supersonic 100 head again. I love that amp. That was something that I wanted to try. The twin version of the Supersonic weighs a ton, so the head is where it's at. If you're thinking about getting a 100 watt amp, buy a head and get a box that's nice and light and you're done. The great thing about the Supersonic 100 head is it's self-biasing. You can put in your tubes and it will do its thing and make sure that it's set correctly. It also has an option where you can run your amp cooler, medium, or hotter, depending on how what type of sound you like and also how long you want the valves to last. So if you're running it on cool, you'll get more life out of the tubes. If you're running it on hot, you'll get less life, but the amp might sound a bit more edgy. So that's a really cool function. Fender haven't gone ahead and released the actual 100 watt version of the amp. They've just done the head. So if I was to get one, I'd probably lean towards the 100. The 60 is awesome if you're buying a combo, but in terms of the head, it's a great sounding head too, but it doesn't have reverb. One of the advantages of the 100 watt over the 60, aside from just that little bit more clean headroom, is the fact it has a built-in reverb tank. Awesome stuff. Fender still have the 212 Supersonic cabs as well, but be warned, they might look awesome, but they weigh a ton. They're also loaded with vintage 30s. So speakers aside, that box is still pretty heavy. If it was me buying one of these things, I'd get one of the heads and get a custom cab and put in the speakers that you like best. You get a much better sound that way as well. Better's subjective. If you already have one of those cabinets and love it, then that's totally cool. Everyone has a different ear for tone and all that kind of stuff, and nobody's right. But for me, I would probably go ahead, put a Texas Heat in if I was doing a 212 box, and I'd also put a Swamp Thing in there. I think those two speakers side by side would be absolutely awesome. They're eminent speakers as well. It kind of makes me wonder why Fender don't branch out and try some different speakers in their amps as opposed to just the same old speakers. I know a few of their amps have different Celestions in them, but not many. Another amp that Fender have just gone ahead and released is the GB Twin. You might be thinking, what the hell is GB? The George Benson Twin. So it has the same look as the Hot Rod Deluxe that they had out a while back, except this particular amp is 85 watts. The preamp tubes are 112 AY7, so you're getting a little bit more clean headroom there just by having that in that preamp section. Three 12AX7s and two 12AT7s as well. And the power tubes are four 6L6s. So rest assured, this thing would be pretty loud at 85 watts, there's no doubt about it. And it has that smoky gray vinyl covering, which actually looks pretty cool. I think that sort of visual kind of suits Fender amps for whatever reason. It's just that little bit different. And I'd love to see or hear one of these in person. I think that would look pretty cool. If you're watching on YouTube, please let me know your thoughts on the Supersonic amps and your opinions on them reissuing a relatively new amp. I'm actually in favor of that, as opposed to just continually re-releasing the same old thing every other year. Good stuff. So coming up on the In The Blues channel, and hopefully for some live streams and maybe a podcast or something, a friend of mine, Ryan, is coming in for some videos. Now, he's done some videos for companies in the past. He's also worked for the Fender Custom Shop, so he knows his gear. Not only that, he's a spectacular player. Nearly every time I hear him play, he makes everyone else around him sound like beginners, with the exception of maybe Brian. That's about it. He totally rocks, if you know Brian from my channel as well. He's a fantastic player, as is Rick. But Ryan definitely has his own vibe going on. So not only do I want to do some videos with him discussing gear, but I also want to do some videos with him discussing playing and techniques and stuff that he thinks about when he plays. It's funny how it works. He really praises my playing. He likes what he hears from me. I love what I hear from him. And we're both extremely different to each other. So I hoping there's some knowledge transfer there we can share with each other and in turn share with everybody else. I think it'd be great to learn a few new tricks and maybe just pick his brain on how he plays, because I watch him and it goes right over my head. Coming from a blues sort of background mostly, I play either major minor stuff, some Aeolian scales and whatever else, but the stuff he plays is very, very different. It's like a fusion thing, but it feels and sounds good to listen to. When you do see those videos go live, you know, say hi and I'm sure he'll reply. He's an awesome guy. So yeah, we're planning on doing some videos in the next few days together. We're kind of keeping the topics open right now. We'll get together. We'll see what we can do. There's a few things I definitely want to do with him in terms of discussion. And there's also a few things I think we might be able to get some sort of good knowledge transfer to everybody and to each other as well, in terms of how to use gear, all that kind of stuff. He knows his stuff. He's one of the few guys I know that has a collection that's pretty spectacular, including the actual real clone, the old school one. It came with a free bodyguard as well. So maybe I can talk him into bringing that down at some point as well, and we can do some stuff. So if we can shoot a few videos all in one day, I'll schedule them out maybe once a week for however many videos we get done. And then, yeah, if it goes over well, we'll do some more. My other good friend Rick, who you've seen on a number of the videos and demos over the years, he wants to do some live stream stuff from here with me as well. So I said, absolutely, man. He's not much of a tech guy when it comes to Skype, or not Skype, but using Google Plus Hangouts, all that kind of stuff. So he said he'll just come around, we'll do it from here. So we may even do a couple of live streams together, maybe do a podcast, do a discussion thing. I think people seem to get more value out of ideas and information than they do out of product stuff. At least that's kind of my assumption of where YouTube's going in terms of gear demos. Gear demos on their own, you know, they're helpful for the people looking for that particular product, but I think people get really good value out of videos that have information that might be helpful. So they're the things that are coming up pretty soon, hopefully this Thursday. It's Tuesday right now. I'll be doing some recording with Ryan. And then hopefully maybe the week after that, I'll do some stuff with Rick and we'll schedule it up so we have some different content going up every single week, which will be awesome. Over the last few months, I've really gotten to know Ryan pretty well, and he's a lovely guy. He's an awesome player and he's not too camera shy either. So we'll be able to, you know, do what we do and not have to really worry about any of that stuff. He's done videos for companies in the past. I think you're in for a treat. So one of the things that's coming up for me personally is I'm actually going overseas. I haven't been overseas now since over three years ago. The last time I went was when I left my day job. So that's a long time ago, and man, time absolutely flies. It's crazy. Financially, it was just impossible for me to go from, you know, a good, really good wage to trying to survive from my own means. And it's taken me 3 years to pretty much get to where it is right now. But a huge part of that has also been offloading a lot of pedals to the Patreon subscribers. If I get sent pedals to demo, I flipped them really cheap to anyone who contributes over there, and it's like a two-way street like that, so it works extremely well. So there's lots of great things coming up while I'm away. I hope to shoot a whole bunch of Guitar Search Saturday videos. I think just being over there and seeing guitar shops, I should have a bit of a field day when it comes to that. I'll also be shooting a whole lot of left-handed guitar demos. Again, it's been such a long time since I did that. I'm gonna probably shoot reviews of them, to be honest. I don't think demos, you know, demos are good, but I wanna try do more reviews. I wanna do some shootouts, all that kind of stuff of lefties. And even if you're a right-handed player, you'll get value out of it. You can buy all of these guitars in right-handed, but you'll, you know, get to see me clunking around on it and making some noise. So it should be fun. So a huge shout out and thanks to Jerry for letting me invade his shop for whatever it is, 4 or 5 days. And I'm just going to shoot as much stuff as I can. I hope to do a bit of a live tour of his shop as well. So stay tuned for that. It'll be like, you know, a little Guitar Search Saturday live feed thing. And that'll probably go up. It might go up on YouTube, but most likely on Facebook. So if you don't follow me on Facebook, and you have a Facebook account, head over to facebook.com/inthe blues. I did my first live Guitar Search Saturday stream. Well, on a Tuesday today, we went in and had a look, and it was a whole lot of fun. While I'm away too, I hope to meet up with a couple of other YouTubers, as well as just take some time off. I don't really plan on doing any editing while I'm away. This old clunky laptop can't handle it anymore, and I don't have a Mac that I'm gonna take with me or anything. I use an iMac for all my editing. So I won't be taking a computer. I'll have my phone and I'll have a hard drive and I'll just keep transferring files over to the hard drive. When I get back, I'll do all the editing then. Jerry has some amazing stuff in his shop. And what can I say, as a lefty, this is stuff you just don't find anywhere else. He's kind of lucky. He doesn't go for just the mainstream stuff like your Fenders and Gibsons and all that. He ends up getting a lot of different brands in. So it'll be a whole lot more interesting, in my opinion, than just seeing the bog standard stuff. All being well, we'll do some shootouts between different brands as well. And he generally has a few of his own personal collection in the shop of old school stuff, which totally rocks. So I plan on shooting a bit of an interview with him again as well. It should be cool. And I'm looking forward to not only seeing Jerry, but heading back to the sunshine, heading back to the States, getting warm, enjoying the sun, hopefully go for a walk on the beach, unwind for a bit, and also do some things that will help the channel move forward as well. Now, recently, I also had an invitation to go to Germany. I declined that because a large company wanted to pay for me to go, which doesn't sound like a bad thing, but I wanted to keep my channel independent. I kind of feel like once big companies start paying your way for stuff, it kind of takes away from the independence that I've tried to establish on YouTube. You know, if Fender said to me, hey, we want to fly you over to the States and shoot some Mustang videos, I'd say no. Because it just doesn't feel right. I don't feel like I'm owned by any companies. And while I think the intentions were good, there'll be a lot of YouTubers that are doing it, by the way. I'm probably the only person that declined. So it may hurt my channel short term, but long term, I think staying independent and doing my thing. And if I want to collaborate with someone, I'll collaborate with them. I think the important thing is just to do your own thing and maybe just be a point of difference from other channels and YouTubers out there. I don't feel like I'm owed anything by doing this. I kind of don't need big companies to pay me to go do stuff for them. I prefer to do things the way that I've been doing them. And whether or not that works out long term, we'll soon see. But for me, I like the fact that I won't owe any big companies anything. Even if they don't expect anything from me by flying me over to their headquarters and doing videos over there with all the other YouTubers, it's not something that really excites me, to be honest. Shooting gear demos overseas like that for a big company, it's not as cool as just going to Jerry's and spending a week there and filming stuff that I actually really love. So I think that's the difference. Let me know your thoughts on that anyway. You'll definitely see all the other YouTubers getting together and shooting, you know, collaboration videos and all that all at one spot. But as a left-hander and as someone from Australia, I just thought it's a long way to go just to shoot vids of stuff that I might not even like, because the company that's sort of putting it all together, I'm not really a big fan of their stuff anyway. So maybe next year. I'll be away from August 10th, 2017, all the way through to August 30 is when I get back. And while I'm away, I won't have a computer. Yes, all I'm taking is my phone. I figure, you know, it's got a large screen. I can do most of what I need to do from here. The thing is, getting back to all the comments and questions on YouTube is going to be near impossible. If you have an important question you want me to help answer, even if I only reply with one line, I still get through everything that I get asked. Head over to Facebook. It's so much easier for me to reply there. It's easier for me to also keep track of the conversation as opposed to trying to find stuff on YouTube. Once your channel gets past 50,000 subs, it's near impossible to keep up and try to remember everything that every question you get asked. A lot of the time, I'll get a follow-up question that isn't actually posted under the previous answer, so it makes it even harder to reply. So head over to Facebook, shoot me a message on there, and we'll be good to go. So coming up on July 23rd, 2017, at 11 a.m., I'm hosting the next live YouTube Summit. Now, the last two have gone over extremely well. I had 500 people on my channel watching the entire 2-hour stream. That was fantastic. Tone King had about 10,000 views in a few days, so it went over extremely well. People seem really interested in that. Now, the way that these live streams have been working, so far we just come up with topics, we write down whatever we want to talk about, we ask a question, we go around the room, so to speak, or the virtual room. So we can keep doing it that way, where it makes for an easier rewatch. So if you missed the live stream and you weren't part of it, you can just hit play later and watch it back and follow along. You don't have to be too concerned with what's going on in the chat room. That's the downside of doing a Q&A. Sometimes if you don't actually say the question that you've been asked, it makes it harder for people to then follow along. So if we're going to do a bigger Q&A section, we're going to make sure we have to actually say the question and answer as well, so people who are watching it back don't get bored. A lot of people ask, why do you do the live streams? Because they're awesome. It's so much fun interacting with people. I jump on other bigger YouTube channels than mine, and I actually ask the guys on their questions as well. I think it's great interacting with people, and maybe we'll block out like a 30-minute chunk of the next one just for Q&A, so I'll keep that in mind, and yeah, I'll keep an eye on the clock. So if you do have any topics you'd like us to discuss, please let us know. And you can just post a comment on YouTube, or you can post a comment at inthebluespodcast.com. Also, you can email me at inthebluesatoutlook.com if there's something in particular you want discussed. Ideally, I wouldn't like the chat just to focus on gear and what does what and all that kind of stuff. I want to sort of go into a bit more of an interesting area when it comes to discussion, both music, playing, all that stuff, creativity, writing, songwriting maybe, stuff like that as well. If you do have any questions you'd like raised on a future live summit, feel free to also let me know in the comments on YouTube or at inthebluespodcast.com. All right, so something very, well, eye-opening has happened lately, and it just goes to show that you can never judge a book by its cover, or things can happen that just totally exceed your expectations, especially when it comes to tone, gear, all that kind of stuff. I got my hands on a Little Crow Raven guitar recently from Little Crow Guitars. Now, you'll know my Little Crow Corvino. It's a beautiful Tele style or Tele inspired guitar. It's not quite a Tele style, but it's, you know, along those lines in comparison. This new Raven has two humbuckers by Briley pickups, and those pickups sound like the best pickups I actually now own. That guitar totally rocks. I had it out with my PV Bandit with zero pedals, and the tone was to die for. It got me wondering whether or not it was the best sounding guitar I had. I got home, put it on my music stand, on my guitar stand. The next day I A-beat it with my main 52 reissue Telecaster, my Les Paul, my 335, and my Strat, and while they're all different, the Raven has a cut and a presence and just an overall tone that is second to none. It sounds absolutely awesome. I have a video going up on the YouTube channel between the Corvino, which is still a great sounding guitar. I always say, every time I play that, it's my best sounding guitar. This Raven is just as good, but they're humbuckers, and they're super clear. I haven't had this happen before. I'm totally stunned. So props, or a huge congratulations to Little Crow Guitars. This particular axe yields a tone I'm not used to, especially with humbuckers. And having a treble bleed circuit in there is fantastic. I can turn down, still get a really great rhythm tone. It's unheard of with, you know, most humbucker guitars. You turn down, kind of gets a little muddy. You know, a simple mod like that does help, having a treble bleed, but generally, I've just never heard a humbucker pickup sound like these pickups. So Briley Pickups have done an amazing job, and Little Crow have put it all together to bring something that I'm just totally digging right now. A number of my really close friends have said, you should make that your number one guitar. And I'm thinking, I think you might be right. And that's one of those things. That came out of nowhere, that guitar, and totally just blew me away. I had high hopes for it, but I didn't have unrealistic expectations. Not to say that Little Crow don't make great guitars, but I love the Corvino guitar so much, and my 52 Tele, and my Strat, so much that I didn't expect it to be a guitar that I would reach for. I thought I'd do the demo and send it back, but I have a feeling it's going to stay. It sounds absolutely wild. What I plan on doing, as soon as I get back from the US, or maybe beforehand, I'm going to try shoot some live footage of this with no pedals, just with my PV Bandit, and you can be the judge. See if it sounds good. Last Sunday night, I had one of the best tones I've ever had in my life. It's all subjective too, but in my opinion, just without anything, just drive channel, PV Bandit, great guitar, awesome tone. Made me play well. I was inspired to play. There's something very liberating about not having stomp boxes on the floor. As much as I love effects pedals, playing without the distraction makes you play. And that's, you know, I've always struggled with that. If I get too many effects on the floor, I tend to, you know, dance around on the pedals a little bit too much, where I should just be playing. And that's the difference. Every time you've got something you can tweak, you tend to want to tweak it, as opposed to just let it go and play. And that's one of those option paralysis kind of things. So Little Crow have done an amazing job on this guitar. It's something that I'm going to be using a whole lot. I'm using it on a whole lot of demos as well. I just think it sounds great. I went from the Little Crow Raven to my Tokai Love Rock electric guitar, which is like the Les Paul. And that sounds awesome. You know, if I hadn't have played the Raven, I would have gone, wow, this guitar is beautiful. And it still is nice. But the Raven, man, it sounds so clear. I should do a YouTube shootout between those two guitars and you can hear it for yourself. There's something ridiculously clear and musical about that one guitar, and it's something you're gonna see more and more of. So well done, Little Crow. Well done, Briley Pickups. What a guitar. This is the great thing that I've started to work out. There's so many great guitar companies out there that you might not find in your local, you know, big name shop. Get out there and have a look for some of these more obscure brands. They make some amazing stuff. And what can I say? I like that homemade kind of look. It's grown on me a lot. Usually I'd be like, oh, it has to be a Strat, it has to be Italian, it has to be painted and CNC routed or whatever you want to call it. But now it doesn't matter. I just like stuff that sounds good and feels good to play and looks a little bit unique as well. Set yourself apart from everybody else in some ways also. Thanks for listening and thanks for watching on YouTube. My name's Shane. This has been the In The Blues Tone podcast for July 11, 2017. I can't wait till next month. I'll be out of winter and back into summer. Awesome stuff. I'll post up another video a bit closer to when I'm there, or maybe when I'm overseas, to give you a bit of an update about what's going on. I'll try and shoot a live video from Jerry's, all being well. Don't forget, you can also find the In The Blues Tone podcast on iTunes or any of those podcatching software. So head over, hit subscribe, and you can listen to the audio in its entirety while you drive, or, you know, whatever. You don't have to have a device on and you don't have to just watch it. And a number of people asked me to upload the whole thing to YouTube, so that's what I'll be doing as well. That'll be a huge upload, but I plan on doing it this month. I meant to do it last month and totally forgot. This month, it will definitely happen, so expect the full video coming up.